It's hard to know how to begin after this past week. I guess I can wish you all a belated Happy New Year. The word happy being somewhat in quotes. It has been a moment in which yin and yang, which in some ideal world stays in balance, have lost their balance for the moment in a very large scale way. And we are all tipping one way or the other based on attachment to one side or another. And finding balance during a time of global imbalance and insecurity is work. It's not exactly easy. It's also not that hard, but it takes practice. And we're human. We're all deeply human. And we are being thrown into arenas that we don't know well. Carl Jung might call it the shadow side starting to show itself, and we all have different relationships to the unseen, the dark side of the global self. But it certainly has begun a rampage that does not appear to be necessarily a singular event. It seems to be that we are about to face more imbalance and upheaval, and we individually have to know and learn how to be present with that kind of destabilization. Again, it's not that hard, except that the stuff that's being called into view, if you approach it with your mind, and if you approach it with base levels of fear, it will control you, and it will be very, very hard to work your way out of. So much of what's arising in the shadow self is dormant, long buried for some of us, scary. You know, if you are African-American in this world, the shadow self is showing itself all the time, and you develop certain skill sets. If you are Jewish, certain things are dormant, and then suddenly you look at people streaming through the capital of the country, and they are wearing shirts that want to kill you and put you back in concentration camps. And it raises up certain DNA responses. I've been talking for weeks now about reactivity and reacting to things usually like annoyance from other people. That's not a big job. Reacting to somebody else's stuff that makes you a little bit unsettled or annoyed, that's a real practice, but it's not like the possibility that you, by your very birth now, are under attack and possibly people wanting to kill you. That's another form of reactivity and realization. And so some of our skill sets are being challenged in some way by the dynamic of what is occurring in such a big way around us. Whether it's going to continue to occur or not, you know, we don't know. But our job is to find a way to be present with as much destabilizing force as there is, and to know how to be and what to do. Doing results from being. It's informed by being. And if you are not in touch with your being, you will respond to your primary control zone, which is your brain and your mind, which is a programmed force that reacts to everything and forms the you that you know, and will right now be in a state probably of anxiety and stress and conflict and disturbance and all of those things, unless you're really sitting quietly every day. If you find yourself in a state of eruption, if you will, It just means take more time, sit down, try to get past mind examination, try to get past mind control, and find a place that is more aware and knowing than the brain. The brain is programmed in a very small arena, and yet you exist in a much larger context. And if you are not aware of that context, this is certainly a signal to try to find it, because it will prove helpful in a time of difficulty. And this is, for many people, a time of difficulty. You know, I was not recognizing my own journey so much in this. I've been feeling my way quite comfortably through everything that has arisen recently, and just allowing this inner guidance system to keep me going and flowing and open and loving and grateful and all of that stuff, loving really, being alive. And then all of this stuff floods our life. I mean, it's enough we're dealing with a pandemic, which a global pandemic, which is isolating us from one another, forcing us to be with ourselves on some level, or with the one or two others you care about and are engaged with. And that's work on its own level. And it's a beautiful work if you can find your way into the continual opening to the what is of your life, rather than being annoyed by and frustrated by what is, which is mind event. It's the mind reacting. It's the mind going, I want it this way as opposed to that way. Totally ego, just ego. Letting go of ego, and I talk about this every week, is a kind of expansion. It's an allowing, and it's really coming down to simple words like kindness and goodness, which I've also been referencing a lot recently, because those are great teaching zones. To be kind and to be good in the moment is really valuable. Part of the incredible oscillation of the last few weeks has been an election in Georgia that had a lot of power behind it, because it allowed for a complete change in world events in a way, the control of the Senate. You all know about that. And I wanted to know what to do, because I had a feeling that the outcome of that would be positive for the balancing of the world. And, you know, I'm one person and I can sit and meditate, and that's good. But what about going from being to doing? Well, my family, much of my family, my sister's family, lives in Georgia. And so I know, without a lot of discussion, that my sister and her husband are pro-Trump. And I have a hard time with that, but we do not have a dialogue about it. She has 5 children, 4 of whom live in Georgia and are married. And I asked her if she, my sister, if she would at least consider, just because of the world's needs, to vote for these 2 senators that I thought would help change and help balance the world. She got very upset and very, very, very Fox News-ish with me, and told me no. And I said, well, would you at least ask your children? And she refused. So I did something I've never really done, is I wrote emails to all of my nieces and nephews, spouses, and said, would you consider voting in this election? I will not tell you how to vote, but I will tell you, I feel that these particular votes would be very helpful in the world. And nobody wrote me back, nothing. And I thought, oh my God, I have created a North and South division in my family, and that we would be in a civil war of some sort. And it was very, very painful. until the husband of one of my nieces wrote back to me quite a bit later and opened a dialogue and shared his viewpoint, which turned out to be very similar to mine. And then one of my nieces did the same thing, shared her viewpoint, which was also similar. The night of the election, and I'm watching the newscasts coming in, and everything is coming down to this one county called in DeKalb County. Now, I used to live in DeKalb, Illinois, and the fact that my sister lives in DeKalb, Georgia, was always sort of interesting to me, and they call it DeKalb, Georgia. But I thought, it's really interesting that we share that. And I watched all of this whole balance of what I thought would be the safety and well-being of the world coming down to that county and to my relatives who voted. And I didn't know how it was going to work out. And finally, on Wednesday morning of this week, I discovered, to my joy and amazement, that they had really voted in two senators who I thought would allow the Congress, in its now newly balanced yin-yang equilibrium, to function for good and the betterment of the world. And I thought, it didn't come from my sitting still and opening to the possibility of the being taking care of everything. I had to write emails to my family and see what happens. And the fact that it came down to DeKalb, and that I have a relationship with DeKalb and my family, I felt I get it. There was something I had to do. It wasn't huge. It wasn't going down and trying to get the vote out. I can't do that in a pandemic. I've done that before. I went down to Florida to try to get everyone to vote for John Kerry. Found out on the airplane they hadn't. But it was an interesting experience, and it was doing of some kind. This was doing at the measure of what I could do. And it seemed to me, in some reference from the universe, the DeKalb reference, that what I had done had been enough. I had done what I could do. The morning after that happened, within the reference of the second senator being voted in, there was a riot in the Capitol and people surging through the Capitol, and everything went topsy-turvy again. It was like all of a sudden yin-yang exploded into massive imbalance that appears to be potentially there for a while. And all I knew was I could get very caught up in the news, which I did. But then I said, this is not good. I don't have an answer for this. So I just started sitting and being quieter with myself, feeling the disturbance inside, feeling what I would call the collective unconscious working around me and through me and in me, and trying to go, aso. And I was relatively good at it. And then yesterday, our neighbor wrote us saying that there are openings for the vaccine happening. You can sign up now. And I said to Blanche, hey, that's really interesting. There's an opening this week to get the vaccine. So I said, let's go online and register. And there were openings for this week. And I thought, oh my God, I didn't think we would get anywhere till April. So I worked, I went and Blanche did, and I got an appointment. And I told Blanche there were four openings in that one slot. I said, you know, you do it too. And she did. And at the last moment, she realized she did one letter wrong in her email address, and she went to fix it and she lost her spot. And I lost it entirely. I started banging walls, walking around the house in a rage that I am not all that familiar with. You've heard me discuss a while back with an Indian restaurant that had held my food for a half hour and telling me it wasn't ready while it was sitting on a table. And that was rage. This was even bigger rage. I didn't know I was capable of that much rage at the world. And this time it seemed it wasn't just rage about insubstantial things, it was life and death. It was whether, how could I be the one to get the vaccine and my wife couldn't? How was that possible? How could the universe be that cruel in a way? And I kept working with it, and all I could feel was the lesson here, and it really quieted me down, was to tell Blanche, I want you to take the vaccine. I will wait for another time. And of course, Blanche being Blanche said, no way. You have to have it. You have more problems physically. And so we hit this profound imbalance balance. I have no answer for it. I was going to ask all of you to write to Blanche and tell her, take the vaccine, take the vaccine. But the reality is, this whole massive episode showed me that I care more, and I'm not saying Bruce even, care more about my wife, who I love, than I do me. And that was a big revelation, that I would give her this, I would want her to take this vaccine rather than me, because I would want my children to have her in the world more than I would want them to have me in the world. Not that they wouldn't want both on their own level, but mothers are mothers. So this huge drama provoking a rage and a response I did not know I was capable of was becoming for me an enormous teacher. How it will play out, I don't know, but I'm sharing it with you because I think it's important to know, one, that people like me who pose as teachers, and posing isn't exactly the right word, but it has elements of truth. People of me who are teachers are people and persons who struggle and who get frustrated and who have learned lessons and keep learning lessons along the way that we can share, that may be two steps ahead of maybe where you are, that will help you see a little bit further into the forest where we are all headed. I believe we are headed toward love. I believe the universe at its core is nothing. There is no thing, nothing. And of course, from that nothing, everything arises. And it is my belief, stated here many times, that the first thing that arises out of nothing is love. I could be completely wrong about that, but I don't think I am. Because I remember being hugged by my mother when I first came into this universe of materialized space and feeling myself. The first thing I felt was loved and attended to, and I loved it. I know that was how I was foundationally meant to feel, this love. Yesterday we were watching the birds at the bird feeder, and I said to Blanche, you know, I think those birds must love you so much, because it's so cold out and they have nowhere to go for anything, and yet they are coming here gathering with the squirrels to grab that bird seed. And of course, we both realized those birds don't love Blanche at all. They don't even know Blanche exists. They don't know what she goes through to put the bird seed into the bird feeder every day and make sure it's full and ready for them and available. They have no idea. They don't know to love her. Most human beings don't know to love the source of the food we eat, the air we breathe, the beauty we witness, the camaraderie we experience with other people. Most people don't look at that any more than the birds do. They just take it for granted. This is a given. You are supposed to have all of this stuff. I can tell you, if you sit still in times of great imbalance and great distraction, where your mind doesn't know what to do or how to move forward or what to think or what to feel, just sit still be grateful for a moment that there's a practice that very few people have. They have various ways of doing it, but a practice that we have that says sit still, take a breath into your heart and ask for help to surrender, to let go, to free yourself of the mental control and the reactive nature of your mind and just be still and watch what happens. And what happens is the part of you that is totally unaware of the goodness, the beauty, the wonder of the world starts to wake up. It's like as if a bird suddenly came and looked in the window and just flapped its wings. If it's like that, it's like if something suddenly realized that there is a loving force out there that cares about you, that supports you, that has put you into a world of amazing and wonderful stuff that is also a yin-yang space of good and evil, light and dark, shadow and light. You have all of these things operating. And if you are caught in that, in the dissolution of balance, which is what we are all going through right now, where can you go back to get balance? Well, go deep. Just go deep. And balance occurs. Balance happens. And you find yourself witnessing the world. If, however, you end up in rage, like I did, don't stay in rage. Don't identify with your rage. Be quiet with it and watch what happens. Watch what happens. It instructs you. It instructs you. I did not know that I would want my wife to have life if I couldn't, that I would give my life for hers. I've always thought that. And I'm not sure asking her to take the vaccine is in fact a proof of that. But I wouldn't have even begun to see that reality without this situation, without my reaction, without my learning from something powerful like that. And let me tell you, we are all now entering a very volatile, very vibrant movement of the yin-yang forces in the world. And that may continue for a while or it may quiet down. But we're seeing it. We're seeing what's there. We're learning what's there. And we are going to have very likely opportunities to learn lessons we might not have learned. Are you ready to learn those lessons? It's going to be one-on-one and it's going to be individual. You know, I mean, it could be, because I'm a Hollywood dramatist, it could be really, really big and awful. I'm also a meditation teacher. So whatever it is, there is a response. And that response is non-attachment, witnessing, being, and when the opportunity comes, doing. And the doing is not necessarily massive. It's writing your nieces and nephews and saying, can you, for me, do the right thing? Could you try? That's doing. It's not global. It's not like you have to go out there and march and get, you know, guns and equipment to fight the big fight. No, we are not probably equipped for that. What are we equipped for? Being good and being kind to one another, whoever those others are, witnessing life and recognizing that something is putting food in that bird feeder, and it's there for you, and it cares about you, and it really cares about you. It loves you. What I witness when I teach you guys, some of you I've known a very long time, the thing I witness more than almost anything is a kind of resistance to change, a kind of holding on to patterns. I see it in myself, but it is breaking up due to God knows all sorts of astrological and physiological factors. But the breakup of resistance is really valuable. Rudy talked about it all the time. He said, our resistance is really the problem. You need to look at your resistance to change, your resistance to altering your perspectives. Start to look at the rigidities of your own being, whatever that may be, and do what you can, even in small ways, to let it go. Let it go. Try to release it. If you have a resistance to change that goes back to your childhood, it's going to be hard. And I know I sit with a lot of you and I feel like I need an oil rig to just drill down to something that allows flow to come. And some of you are very resistant to that. Even as I go into the system, and I don't go as Bruce, this energy goes in and tries to do the thing that will stir you up. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I will tell you, when the entire world goes out of whack, when the imbalance of the yin-yang becomes so powerful, there's going to be a lot of opportunity here to break up your resistance or to reinforce it. I would encourage you to be self-aware, to be still-pointed, to watch. And if you see your resistance, your hardness, your rigidity getting stronger, try to take a breath and let it go. Some of these resistances are, like I say, 50, 60 years old, and you may not be able to get a hold of them. But in a time like this, where stuff starts to come up out of the nothingness of the yin and yang, out of the mixture of light and dark, you may get to witness some real stuff that you haven't seen before. And you can use it, you can channel it, you can turn it into momentum that makes you a new person, that engages the parts of you that are asleep or dead or really locked in and saying no to everything. You can let go of that. This is an opportunity. So if you want to make a positive out of what is for many people a huge negative, this is a time of change, possibility, growth, witnessing the larger self, the larger shadow self of all of our lives, of our whole universe, in a way, our country, the world, whatever you want to call it, it's all in play. You have the job of using it to grow, get deeper, to get more open, to learn more about yourself, or just to lock down in stress and fear and just keep watching the news and Netflix and pretend it's not going on. Really, choice. Choice is everything here, guys. You can make choices or you can not make choices. But I will tell you, we are living in a remarkable time, truly remarkable. We in our lifetimes have not experienced it. Some of our parents did. My mom and dad had to deal with World War II and my father getting in uniform. He served for a while, but he never fought. But their world was disrupted. And my mother's world was disrupted by a depression they had to move to a smaller house and all of their sense of grandiosity was brought down into something much more simple, probably a good thing for my mom. And the world can do that. Well, it's doing it to us right now. It's doing it to us in one way. I don't know where it's going to go. It may calm down completely and we may find ourselves in a real breathing space, which would be wonderful. But the forces of disengagement or dislodging that want change and transformation and not particularly highly evolved change, just change, are all around us. And take advantage. You know, Rudy used to have this strange thing. He used to go to the movie theaters and he would wait for the most frightening moments of the movie where everybody went, you know, like that. And he would go, and he would take all that energy into himself. He would wait and he would drink that energy into himself and he would become more powerful because everybody who threw their energy into the atmosphere made it available to him. Think about that. drink this stuff in, take it in, use it well, let it transform you, let it make you who you truly are. Not who your mind tells you are, not who your body tells you are. You are so much more than any of that. And if you allow yourself to open to that and to let this period become a period of instruction, moving beyond rage, moving beyond all of your attachments, watching yourself in ways that you've never seen before, growth, freedom, joy, kindness, goodness, realization, awakening are all possible. This is a moment for that. And of course, I wish you well. I will come. We're now going to do this class every other week rather than two and two for the East Coast, West Coast. So next week is the East Coast, and I'll be back to the West Coast, and you are all totally welcome to come back. And like I have said 1,000 times, if you've heard this enough, you don't have to come back. You know, just do it. Some people tell me getting the reminders regularly is helpful. It has been for me, 50 some years of it. But if you think you have it, or if you do have it, just do it, just be it. But if you want to come and sit, you know, I'm instructed, deeply instructed, to show up, and that's what I will do. So, are there any questions from anybody?
I have a question, Bruce.
George.
Well, you sort of answered it, but I just want to get it straight in my mind. When we sit and we surrender negative psychic tensions, can we surrender our resistance at the same time?
Sure, they're merged. They're basically the same thing.
Yeah, I get. Sort of remembering Rudy working with Muktananda and all the resistance he had for that. He used that to make himself stronger. So how do you resolve the two of that situation? Yeah.
I mean, it's the antagonist in your life can make you stronger or destroy you. You have a choice. Mm-hmm. Whatever antagonistic forces you feel either make you more capable or they disintegrate you. Yeah, maybe in the end, that's all fine, but The ride into disintegration that is full of suffering and full of anxiety is not the best ride. And the ride of strength and witnessing and knowing that this is a powerful transformative force that is working for you, not against you, will change your life. When I saw my rage yesterday, I was humiliated by it, but I kept working with it and I discovered it was about something really powerful. Really powerful. And in the end, I learned from it rather than became a victim of it. And that's a teaching for me. I share it with you guys because that's what I think I'm here to do. You know, I don't know if it's the best story in the world, but it's a story that speaks to me.
Well, we're all human, and Rudy was also human and also got enraged on occasion, as we both know. So.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, it's all part of the human journey. And if you use it well, you will grow and evolve. If you use it badly, you will get stunted and conflicted and, you know, drawn into great pain. It's a hard place to enter. Anybody else? Okay. Susan, was that a question? I can't hear you. You have to unmute yourself. You're muted. Yeah.
It's a wonderful teaching today, this talking about dealing with our resistances and trying to really get in touch with them. And I feel I'm surrounded by them right now. And so it's very helpful to hear you talk about it. Thank you.
You are not alone. And it's helpful for you to acknowledge that. I mean, you're not alone. Most people I know are kind of addicted to the drama of what's going on and fearful of the possibility of what's coming and hopeful. And it's all of this mixed mash of mind events that are going on. And that causes a lot of disturbance. And so just quiet it down. It's not going to go away. The world's not going to change because of your quieting it down, but you will be more peaceful in reaction to it, and that will serve you and everyone around you. And if you use it to be kind to your daughter and son-in-law and your husband and whoever else comes into your circle, that's a gift that you will have brought based on this evolving awareness that you can do that in spite of you're wanting to pull your hair out or whatever else that, I mean, don't pull your hair out, it's too pretty, but whatever it is that causes grief and suffering, you don't want to spread that around. You just don't. I mean, maybe you do, but it's not a wise choice. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, guys. See you in 2 weeks if you're around. And I really, really am grateful for you showing up. And I love you all deeply. And we will keep this going as long as it wants to go.